name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I take from my text this morning the reading from the Gospel, rather than, it would appear, most of the book of Genesis, and the great tongue twister that we find from St. Paul, I do and I do not, and I do and I do and I don't. I thought I will leave you to read the Bible commentary in your pew sheets for you to learn more about that particular reading and indeed the Genesis reading. But just bear in mind the reading that we've had from the Gospel this morning. Now, a good look around our beautiful church at our lovely stained glass windows. For those of you playing trivia, this was the first church in Victoria to have a complete set of stained glass windows by the end of the 1920s. You will see lots of depictions of Jesus, and you would be led to believe that he is absolutely glorious company every time you would encounter him. He would might even have light shining from him, or at least around him. Yet the Gospel this morning describes a man who is not always popular company. And this is because Jesus was a very unexpected Messiah. He was a long shot from what the Jewish authorities of the time expected in the Chosen One and the Saviour of Israel. He didn't come from the right places. He didn't go to the right schools. He didn't even go to university, for goodness sake. He came from the back blocks of the empire, but he was born to a royal line. He drew great crowds to see him. He was often confrontational. He openly flaunted the religious law of his day and his tradition. And he proclaimed love as the only law and saw the embrace of freedom for everyone as being the salvation of Israel. And at the same time, he is humble and he is prayerful. And before Jesus, of course, comes this intriguing figure, John the Baptist. And he is equally unexpected. He's a very strange kind of guy, but he's more in line with the desert prophets of old. We learn that as an adult he wears camel's hair and a leather belt, and he eats of the land, in this case we are told wild honey and locusts. He led a pure life, he fasted frequently, and his appeal as a desert hermit, ascetic and wise man is the attraction of a man accustomed with self-imposed discipline and even severity. His commitment to preparing the way for the Messiah by means of this ascetic life was just as confronting to some as the rebellious parts of Jesus' life. So, we surmise, the kingdom of God is announced and prepared by John, who is out in the desert, a wild man dressed in camel's clothing, a belt and eating honey and locusts. He heralds Jesus' arrival, and Jesus is not what a whole heap of people expect. Is it any wonder, then, that neither John the Baptist nor Jesus Christ receive a 100% warm and hearty welcome? People were confronted by the impoverished nature of John the Baptist, and they were confronted by the outrageous nature of Jesus. And if we think that's unusual, well, we are often ourselves, I think. Well, I certainly am. I find it difficult sometimes. I'm confronted by someone who is impoverished, and I am confronted by someone who lives outrageously, who calls us to a radical life of love rather than making nice with those around us. So, all of that goes into Matthew's Gospel this morning. Jesus, we learn, is faced with this same reception. We hear him say, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, quote, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn.'" Jesus paints this picture of a marketplace full of all of these people who refuse to join in the inviting activities that are right before their eyes. And he goes on to explain what he means. John the Baptist came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Some people can never be pleased. You might have encountered them in your life. I did, a few ski seasons ago, back when there was snow. Remember snow? White stuff from the sky. We went away to a chalet with friends, and there was a new person there I didn't know very well, and nothing was ever right. You get up in the morning, fabulous day, she'd say, I'm not skiing today, it's too cold. Okay, fine. The next day you'd get up and it'd be a little bit misty, we'd all go skiing, she'd say, I can't go, it's too misty. The lasagna that I made was too cold. The lasagna that someone else made was too hot. You know the type, finding something in people around them they're looking to dislike. That is what we hear this morning. At a deeper level, people found following John the Baptist too difficult because he was too pious. He was too severe. He is too simply strange. He's out in the desert somewhere. Equally, they are confronted by Jesus, who they find too liberal. They find him too flamboyant. They don't like the fact he doesn't follow the law of the day, and so both of them dismiss them. Too hot, too cold, too whatever. I'm not following either of them. And Jesus uses this analogy of the courtyard, where people behave like children who can't be pleased, to explain the way in which people generally have refused to respond to the ministry of not only himself, Jesus, but that of John the Baptist as well. He's showing his frustration at a people who were so very difficult to please and even had a history of persecuting prophets. I guarantee you, you'll never see Christ's frustration depicted in stained glass windows. Here lies the rub. The people could not recognize Jesus as the Messiah because they had such a narrow view of what the Messiah was going to be like. And this is why Jesus goes on to say, thank you, Father, that these things have been hidden from the wise and the intelligent and have been revealed to infants. Well, that seems like a very strange thing to say. We are all very wise and intelligent people. What is going on here? Why have things been hidden from the wise and the intelligent? Well, the wise and intelligent often have very set ideas about how things have to be. Comparatively speaking, infants don't have things clearly thought out at all. They're much more open to new ideas, and thus, in this context, to a different sort of Messiah. The unbelief of the people is explained in Jesus' short prayer to his Father, where he thanks him that things are this way. In this gospel narrative this morning, Jesus issues to us perhaps the most personal and tender invitation in the whole of the gospel, and one that is very, very well known indeed. Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. In his context, Jesus may well have had in mind his fellow Jewish people who were yoked to the law of which St. Paul spoke of in the reading from the letter to the Romans this morning. In Jesus' time, there were more than 600 minor and major laws for the committed Jewish person like himself to follow. It had become burdensome and heavy for many, a law that in places prevented people loving each other because it placed such restriction on who could they have contact with and what they could do at particular times or not. The law had got in the way of love and justice. The problem again of the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. Having said that, Jesus doesn't limit his invitation to come to him to his own historical time alone. That invitation is to anyone, us included, who is burdened. And frankly, there is really nobody here who is not burdened by something, small or large. Many things burden us, do they not? The small things and the big. These are some of my burdens. You might have the same. I worry about the church. I worry about my work. I grieve when others grieve. I worry about my family. I worry about health concerns. I worry and are burdened by legal issues, financial concerns. The list goes on and on. If you want to work out which is top of the list, pay attention to that thing that wakes you up at 3:30 in the morning and demands your attention for some unknown reason why at that time. We always have these burdens with us, and it's difficult to know sometimes what to do with them. Sometimes our faith can become a burden into a list of things we should or shouldn't do to the point that it also becomes rules and burdensome instead of about loving God, ourselves, and our neighbour. And it's to all that stuff that Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Rest because Jesus' way is easy, he says, and his burden is light. His is not a way of burdensome regulation. It is not a way of living that adds to our burdens. Jesus' way of loving God, of loving him, of loving each other, of loving ourselves, offers us a way of living that should bring joy and peace. And when we do this, when we hand over things to him, when we hand over things to God, to trust in God, we are given a light yoke, peace, comfort. I was speaking with a friend of mine who was a bishop in the church, and we were talking about this one particular verse, and I said to him that I like to imagine placing my burdens at the foot of the cross, Jesus' cross. And he said, "I do the same." He said, "My problem is there are so many burdens at the foot of the cross, I can't see the cross anymore." Placing our burdens at the feet of Jesus, placing our burdens into God's hands. One last point. We need to be clear about what Jesus is offering us here. He offers us rest and an easier yoke. We're not being offered a quick fix, no yoke, that is nothing to carry, or a short-term solution to a problem that requires no effort on our part. What he is doing is offering a new way of being, to take on his yoke and his way of living. Not a yoke that is hard to follow and involves lots of rules, but rather one that is easy and light. Jesus' way, I have found, and I hope you find too, offers us a lifestyle that brings us deep and profound joy and peace. When, as I said, we learn to regularly hand over things to him and trust enough to follow him where he is leading us. Principally, we will do this in two ways. And these are strikingly similar to the ways of John the Baptist and Jesus as described in the Gospel from Matthew this morning. Like the way that John the Baptist lived, we are always called to live simply, as best as we can, in a complex world. That lovely phrase, "live simply so that others may simply live." Don't create extra burdens for yourself. And like Jesus, to live in the world as a messenger of God whose life is marked by love as the law. In every action, am I loving my neighbour? Am I loving myself? Am I loving God? Will we be popular as a result? Will we have piles of followers on Instagram? Maybe. But if not, will be in very good company. In other words, I think this lovely little gospel reading this morning is an invitation to discipleship, not a quick solution. It's an invitation to a way of life. Jesus again invites us to place our burdens and our worries upon him. An often flamboyant, unexpected, unsettling Messiah, and to take up his way of life, as easy or as challenging as that might be. The Lord be with you.